Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare SP Angel. You're Vadim.
How are you doing, Justin?
Well, I feel I have to start off quite, optimistic and bright sounding when I introduce you, but really that's not how I'm feeling. I'm so sick and tired of this market. It's like bumping along, grinding lower, but it's just awful. I mean, just getting bad news after bad news, and it's one of those things where I just think I said to you, I think a while back, I feel like packing up and doing a round-the-world trip for like 6 months. But as soon as I set off, the markets will start rallying, I expect. But I suppose this is where we have to be. You have to, like I said, capitulation by boredom, almost nothing happening, everything grinding lower for so long now that it has to get to this point where there's almost seller's exhaustion, where people just are all out, all the sellers are out, and so any buys should come in kind of thing, and it works the market upwards. But it's just so emotionally draining, this market.
It's draining. Yeah? It's tiring. It really is. It's all those things. I couldn't agree with you more. There's just a general market malaise. Literally, I don't know how to better explain it. There aren't any massive events anymore. We've all seen worse markets in terms of shock. Do you know what I mean? Like so I guess, anything like in the background, obviously there's the war and there's the debt ceiling issues and, but they're not, there is no current major shock like we had in 2008 or even like we had recently with SVB blowing up, right? It's just, there's just an overhang of a market malaise. I mean, it's just that right now. And how can you say it? It's the culmination of almost in healthcare in particular, almost 2 years of this in UK healthcare. So we're now 2 years into a general market, slowdown. It can't last. But then I've said that before, you know what I mean? Yeah. So we are now 2 years into it. It started in the summer of 2021 and now it's all across all sectors. Right. But, there was a big boom in healthcare during COVID and then it peaked in the summer of 21, and now we're hitting into the summer of 23, having seen major declines, obviously, in the but for the last 6 months, they've just been, it's not a decline, it's just, some things are grinding lower, but on balance, it's just up and down. It's just not going anywhere, so it's bouncing around the bottom. Yeah. And the question is, when do things turn? I am hearing, big pundits in the U.S. saying, healthcare is going to turn, or there's good value in healthcare. When you've seen good big rallies in tech, people are saying, well, you should maybe be, switching. So selling on the rally and switching into good value. Healthcare is being touted as one of the good value sectors. Who knows? I don't know. But overall, that's just this sector that I'm talking about now. But you're talking about a general. Now it's true. It's generalized. And there's this general malaise.
It seems like we had the low in back in October. We had a bit of a rally off that, and more recently, it's been in the US. Any company sort of dominating or having a product in AI seems to have pulled up the market a bit in that end. But in the UK, it just seems to be at the moment. There are lots of crap little microcaps are rallying because they literally can't go any lower and there's seller's exhaustion there. But generally, it's just hard work. And I mean, you know, I've started now actually putting money into a dividend-paying fund, which is based around the FTSE 350, the biggest, the 50 highest yielding stocks in the FTSE 350. And even because that had a big, the FTSE had a big sell-off yesterday, and this fund had a big sell-off, and it doesn't really happen. It's down to the RSI is almost oversold. I thought, okay, I'm going to start putting some money into that. Because at the moment,
What's it yielding?
At the moment, it's yielding about 7% annually.
But they
Good. Yeah, they pay quarterly, which is very good. So, the next date is, I think, June 15. So, and they pay every 3 months, you know, so that's quite good. So, it's got the stage where, you know, even if you find a bargain at the moment, it's not going anywhere. So, it's a very liquid fund. So, if I need to pull something out of that, you know, to put in somewhere else, I will. But it's just annoying. I mean, it's just so annoying. I mean, like I said, I'm looking at now on my spreadsheet. I've got the days AIM. This is AIM 100, AIM All Share. Days since high, 626 days. On the 6th of the 9th, 2021, that was the high.
2 years.
And
2 years.
We're coming up to 2 years. Well, yeah, a few months away from 2 years. And so it's like, it's so frustrating. It is
extremely frustrating. I wish I had something to say more. I mean, we've been talking about all the macro factors that have impacted this. You know, the thing that would support green shoots is the fact that these macro factors are being resolved, and they are being. You know, inflation is coming down. Yes, it's not perfect. Maybe we missed here on inflation, but still, there's been a massive jump downwards from whatever it was, double-digit inflation down to 8.7%, and continuing, and it will continue. You know, will it go down to 2 quickly? Maybe not, but it'll get down to, you know, the low single digits. It's all, we can see all of this happening now, and the as opposed to an environment where we're afraid that we had runaway inflation, right? That was where we were, whatever it was, 6-9 months ago. All these things are kind of resolving themselves. The energy crisis resolving it. You know, they're all coming back. But now we're just stuck in this kind of perpetual limbo. Everyone waiting for, yes, there are other issues like the debt ceiling. But, you know, compared to something that you know there is no control, you know, or comparing inflation to the debt ceiling discussions is completely different. One is a question of governance, which can be decided. The other one, well, you just don't know, right? Spiraling inflation could truly fall out of, you know, be out of control. And that's what we were worried about then. That's a bigger worry, in my opinion. You know, yes, they can screw it all up with allowing the U.S. to default, but that's a big decision. And it is a decision. You see what I mean? Whereas spiraling inflation is something that you hope to chase and control, and you may not be able to, right? Yeah. So that's why those risks were more threatening at the time. Anyways, long story short, I find the macro issues have progressively resolved themselves, and yet we're still stuck in this market lull. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it'll take to trigger a buy. You know.
Well, I think at the moment, like you said, in America, and of course, we feel the ripples of the, you know, across the pond there from America, and I think there is talk about the debt ceiling now, and that's going to play in the market a little bit. But also, if you look at the indices there, it's amazing. The S&P is largely trading in a range. We've got and that's from between 3,800 and 4,200. It's hit 4,200 three times, and so it just hit that recently. Now it's rolling over in time with this debt ceiling problem. And over here, of course, we've got like this core inflation didn't go down, so that's not good. But so you're going to have, I do believe we'll be trading in a range for a while until we see that sustained trend of downward inflation. And as yet, we're not quite there, you know, and it won't be long because we've got energy prices coming down now, everything else has come down because of that. Someone did reply to me recently saying, you know, interest rates, higher interest rates will not affect energy or food costs. And I think they sort of do, you know, indirectly they sort of do. I mean, it's a blunt instrument, raising interest rates, of course, because it affects everything. Yeah. But if you slow the economy down a bit, then people sort of tend to buy less, especially when you've got higher prices. People tend to buy less, therefore less is produced, therefore less energy is used to produce that stuff. And so it does, and that's why the oil and gas prices have come off, because largely they're worried about recession. And when that happens, of course, people use less oil and gas. So it does happen, and that's happening, you know. So that takes a while to feed through into food prices. Yeah, exactly.
Food and energy are volatile, right? So I'm not really worried about the fact that core is still high. If you look at the U.S., right, the U.S. raised rates faster than we did, okay? Mm-hmm. And they've controlled inflation faster than we did. Mm-hmm. And the echo is almost perfect, you know what I mean? Because now we're still raising rates. They've pretty much, well, they haven't stopped yet, but, you know, the indications are that they're going to stop. The issue with us is that we've got the core follows headline. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. So headline inflation has to come down first, which it has drastically, right? It's come down from 10.1, I think, to 8.7. And core follows it with an echo because it all filters in to core eventually, right? Mm-hmm. So you get negative. In fact, you have in the US right now, you have headline lower than core, right? Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? So headline inflation now is lower than core inflation, which is dragging core down. You see what I mean? That's interesting because it's deflationary, if you like. Yeah. Like energy is deflationary right now, so it's taking away from headline inflation.
Yeah.
But my main point there is that I'm not too concerned about UK inflation. It's going to come down. We're already starting to see the signs of it coming down, even though core is slow to follow. It naturally does follow. It doesn't mean the Bank of England's going to start cutting rates anytime soon. You know what I mean? But they still have to continue the fight. But nonetheless, it's all out there. It's all visible. What I don't understand is why the perpetual lull in the market. You know what I mean?
Worries about sort of recession coming to what I know the IMF upgraded, you know, UK growth.
Correct.
They called a recession off, but forecasts aren't that accurate. And if you look at the envision of the yield curve, I think that's more accurate than forecasts. Even Andrew Bailey and the Bank of England has admitted they got it wrong, and they often get it wrong. So maybe it's just the market saying that, you know, recession is going to happen in some way. And I suppose if you keep sort of choking off the economy with higher interest rates, it will happen eventually, you know? I mean, it'll take a while to kick in, and it'll take a while for people to stop spending because there's still up some savings maybe, but it will after a while, and people start saying, and especially if job cuts happen, you know, and then people have to sort of get laid off and all that stuff, maybe it will, maybe that's what the market needs, is this recession. I mean, I just saw Economic News, actually, about Germany are in recession now. Germany officially... the biggest economy in Europe in recession. So maybe that was what... And then traditionally, like I said, when recession's announced officially, that's when a rally happens, you know? The market's priced it in. It won't get any worse from there. So
maybe that's... But you and I know we've been talking about, you know, we've been laughing about this now, I think going on 2 years almost, about the most talked about recession that hasn't arrived.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... if that's what's holding the market back, my God, we are waiting, and we're waiting a long time for a recession that hasn't happened. And now forecasts are starting to come out. And I agree with you, the IMF, you know, more often than not, it's totally wrong. But the forecasts are wrong. But nonetheless, you know, now we've got major forecasters saying, well, there isn't going to be a recession, you know. And the U.S. has managed to bring down inflation significantly without actually compromising labor, right? So there's still, you know, unemployment is still below 4%, and yet inflation has come down significantly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to me, if there is a recession, it's kind of almost insignificant anymore because it'll be so thin, you know. Well, like, unless there's some major macro event again, you know, like default on the U.S. debt, you can't control for those things. Barring a major macro event that's unforeseen, you know, currently it looks like we're gonna have a soft landing. UK and US.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we need. But I'm, you know, I've got a big chunk of cash. I'm sitting there. It's so boring. That's why I'm going into this dividend paying fund. It's so boring at the moment. But
I agree.
Do you know what's annoying is that in this market, anything that doesn't go to plan, then it takes a big knock. When you do the weighing up, you look for a search. For example, a good example is Destiny Pharma today. They came up with some news, right, and saying they appointed a new CEO, interim CEO. I thought, what? So Dr. Deborah Barker appointed interim CEO. What's going on here? And it's Neil Clark has decided to step down as CEO to pursue new challenges. Neil will also step down from the board of the Media Factor. So when you get this, now, it's nothing to do with the operations. This is obviously something personal going on. And we'll never find out what actually went on here. Regardless of what he's done, I don't know. Maybe he's gone for another job somewhere. I don't know. But it may be something, you know, that he's done that they didn't want to reveal. They said to him, either you've got to leave or we'll sack you. But it's not operational. You know, it seems to me it's not operational. And in fact, this Dr. Deborah Barker is more well-connected than Neil. I mean, Neil was more... He does have a background in bioscience, but he's largely an accountant. He's a chartered accountant. Now, this Dr. Deborah Barker has worked for... let's have a look. She's worked for... Novartis, Roche, GSK, seated roles at Polyfor, Polyneuron. So she's literally, you know, really in that space of where you want to be. She's an anti-infective specialist, IPO'd on the Swiss exchange. So she's got more of a background in this area, more experience and a track record than Neil. But in this market, when something doesn't go to plan, you think the people start selling, and now you've got Destiny Pharma down, you know, sort of 9%, 10%. It's so annoying. You know, you do research on a company, you think it's got huge potential. They've got, you know, cash to H2 2024. It's literally sub 30 million market cap. And yet, something left field like this happens. What the heck is going on now? It's so annoying.
Yeah. Extremely frustrating. I mean, exactly. It's the share price decline that's any negative news in this difficult market is just doubly more negative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, very, very, very difficult market. Look, ultimately, it all has to pass. I mean, you know, I think to invest, you do have to be somewhat level at some level of forever optimist. And that's what carries all markets upwards in the long run. But, you know, it's bound to end. It just has to. The malaise eventually ends. I think the rate cycle if you know how we look at charts, when you zoom out to the 10-year, 20-year chart, you know, this is all insignificant, these months or this, even the 2-year mark, we're almost celebrating the 2-year mark of a down market. When you zoom out in the long run, it all does resolve. And it just feels like we're due for some form of a resolution and a breakout, you know, upwards. I can't currently see what that catalyst is. I don't know what it is. I don't like currently, you know, historically you were saying, you know, you're right. When a recession comes, usually what you see is the rate cycle doesn't just end. It renews with rates coming down again. Mm. You see what I mean? And that is the trigger of saying, oh, okay, don't fight the Fed the other way. Interest rates are coming down, you know, you're probably looking at a very stimulative environment. So therefore the markets get ahead of it. And then you start a big bull rally again. But I just don't think that's going to happen this time. I don't think there's going to be this massive turnaround in rates because I don't see a big recession coming. And inflation is still persistent in the background, so they're not going to just jump into rate cutting all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So I don't see the traditional trigger, which is usually the Fed, you know, and other central banks to follow. So I'm looking for that trigger. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what that trigger is going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, the macro issues have resolved. But the traditional triggers that tell everyone now is the time to buy, I can't see it. I don't know where it's going to come from. So, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Well, it just makes sense. Sometimes that's why I think we'll get these, you know, rallies just on the, you know, within the range for a while. But I think unless we start seeing that core inflation sort of coming down in a trend, then that will then say, you know, that will signify that the Fed's done its job, the Bank of England's done its job, and they can step back a bit. Otherwise, you know, it's only going to be a deteriorating economy in which they reduce interest rates. But even then, you think, well, that's what they want. They need that. They need deteriorating economy, less growth, to suppress, you know, price inflation. So, yeah.
I think they've achieved it. I'm not trying to be, controversial here. In the UK, yes, agreed. I still think the UK is in an echo to the US and it'll come. But the US, I think, are achieving that. So if you remember our discussions a year ago, it was all about this. It was like, can they control it? Can they? Now I think they are. I do think core is falling. Core is coming down. If there's a risk, it might tail off very long and not get to 2. But, you know, it has come down substantially, core. So they are controlling it. And the question then becomes, well, then what is the trigger in the US? You know, so I feel like monetary policy has worked in the U.S. and it continues to work. You know,
it's got to be the worry. It's got to be the worry about the economy, then, isn't it? I mean, all the debt ceiling initially. Okay, in the interim, the short term, it's the debt ceiling. Let's get past that. We may have a rally then, but even then, isn't it the worry then that what the Fed is doing is slowing down the economy, and that's what they need to do. So, isn't that the worry, really? I suppose.
But we've been at these levels for some time now. So you know, the monetary policy filtering through, yes, there's still some to go, but a lot of it has happened. Or, you know, it's not like the whole world doesn't see that rates are at 5% almost in the U.S., you know, or at 5%. So something doesn't add up is all I'm saying, is that it's highly visible. Everyone has seen for some time now that the U.S. is trying to slow the economy, and it has slowed it, but it hasn't thrown it into a recession, and we're no one anticipates major hikes to come. So that's well established. That's been well communicated. If anything, they're pausing. You see what I mean? That's the latest communications. So my view is what you're saying is that it's going to continue filtering through and slam the brakes on the economy. I don't see that happening. Mm-hmm. You know, I see employment picking up, if anything, in the U.S. in spite of 5% rates, right? Yeah. So I just don't, there is no, I cannot see all of, unless there's a major event like we talk about, like the debt ceiling, you know, having a major blow up and a default. Yeah, that would be pretty bad. But parking major events, naturally, I don't see the economy coming grinding to a halt. We've had 5% rates now. It's been visible. The path of those rates have been visible to everyone for some time. And yes, there's the slowdown effect of that is still filtering through, but it's been filtering through for quite some time now. And unemployment in the U.S., you know, is still below 4%. And if anything, the BLS, the monthly non-farm payrolls, are coming out higher again. You know, I think it was 200. I can't remember what the last print, but it was something like 250,000 jobs created. So it's not, you know, there is no. I don't see where the big recession is coming and the big worry. I agree with you. The yield curve is still screaming recession, but it's been screaming that for some time now.
Yeah,
you know, you could almost argue.
So what do you do with your money then? What do you do? I mean, currently yourself there, how much cash are you sitting on, percentage wise? Are you fully invested or not?
No, I'm about 25% in cash. So I think you were telling me last time you're about 50%, right?
Yeah, but 48, are you still? Yeah. 48% pretty much. Yeah.
So we are, you know, everyone is kind of
sitting. Sorry, 38%, but I chucked 10% into this dividend fund this week, or yesterday on the sell. So,
Yeah. But that's great. And I think that's a good idea. I think, you know, the paper, like short-term paper is yielding well now, right? Mm-hmm. So whether it's a dividend fund or a money market fund, and I think we discussed this also, that there's about $5.5 trillion in the U.S. sitting in money market funds. You know, that's cash or cash equivalents. That's just sitting there waiting to be deployed. And I'm convinced that came out of equity and is going back into equity. Maybe not all of it, but it means that everyone, like you and I are describing ourselves, we're still sitting on pretty hefty cash positions, just waiting. Well, what are we waiting for? Are we waiting to put those into bonds? No, we would have done so already. Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like Now, I agree with you, like there are strategies like putting it into, you know, dividend funds and things like that, which may be equivalent. But my main point is there is a lot of cash waiting, in my opinion, to go back into equities. But nobody knows what's the trigger to move that cash.
And I know what it is. I know what it is. It's the old one. It's the war in Ukraine stopping. That's the moment when that Russia give up, they'll withdraw, and they'll say their mission is complete. Whatever, it's some kind of rubbish from Putin.
I think that'll give a nice little rally
towards everyone. Okay, that's off. That'll help supply chains. Everything comes down, price comes down, and there we are.
It would be phenomenal. It would be phenomenal if that happened. I would love for that to happen. It would be the cleanest way out of that. Quagmire, but
so that's what we're hoping for.
Quagmires tend to get worse before they get better.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, listen, let's hope that stops because people are dying. But
there's a
self-serving thinking. That's a catalyst for a stock market rally. But no, let's say, first and foremost, from a humanitarian point of view, let's hope that stops. But I think that would, though, trigger a market rally of some kind. You know,
I agree with you, but I just don't see that happening. I think they're in too deep. Unfortunately, the Putin's government is in too deep, and who knows. That is uncontrollable. But look, let's all look out for those big catalysts. Short term, we need the debt ceiling resolved, and that is at least a negative burden that would. So maybe that would be one rally. One source is a resolution to the debt ceiling debate.
Yeah. Cool. All right, Vadim. So frustrating. I don't know if I'll be here. I don't know if I'll be here next week. I'll be traveling around the world in a Winnebago or some camper van or something. I don't know. But,
this is actually, yes, I agree with you. I mean, this is pretty grim out there. I think we both sound pretty grim, and rightly so. But let's hope that it doesn't get worse from here.
Yeah, but maybe this is the sentiment at the bottom of the market, isn't it? It's bound to be. This is where frustrating. The frustration does manifest itself at the bottom. It's not the top of the market. So you've got to say we are towards that area, maybe. Marvelous stuff. Thanks, Vadim. Speak next week.
Excellent. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.